Looking at this, you can potentially take out a second win for the season and really increase that lead. Is that factoring in for you at all?
Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't here for a haircut, so no, definitely want to try and get a win for sure.
Everybody, welcome to the Monday Mass. This is the world's greatest action sports podcast. That was Jordy Smith talking about, I'm not here to get a haircut. I'm here to win this contest. He didn't, but we'll get to that in surf news. It's coming up shortly. Like I said, you're listening to the Monday Mass. I'm your host, Chris Cote. This show is brought to you by Gnarlywood and Quincy Woodwrights. And yes, this is Villager Month. We're going to have a very special Villager-related interview, again, later on in the show. We've got a great show this Monday. It's Monday, September 18th, but don't think you can't listen to this if you just tuned in and it's Wednesday, the 20-whatever. You can still listen, so just keep listening. Like I said, brought to you by Gnarlywood. Gnarlywood is your business amplifier. There's a hashtag on the Gnarlywood Instagram. It says, hashtag, Gnarlywood goes hard. And I've seen this firsthand. They can take your business, big or small, and streamline everything on the back end, the logistical side of things, the things that a lot of us aren't experts at. Shipping, receiving, warehousing, etc., e-com. They do it all at Gnarlywood. And then I'm talking about Quincy Woodwrights, American-made skateboards. They grow the trees in Michigan. They cut it, they harvest them in Michigan. Glue them, shape them, everything. Right there, made in the USA, at Quincy Woodwrights. They've got their own boards with incredible graphics, and they also do tons of shop boards all around America. American-made skateboards, folks. They've got pop. I can attest to that. Been riding them, loving them. So what do you say? As we get into the show, like I said, this is Villager Month. Still, September is Villager Month here on the world's greatest action sports podcast. We're going to talk to the brains behind the operation later on in the show, Mr. Josh Landon, the guy who started it, along with Guy Mariano, P-Rod, you know, the Gadowskis brother. They're all, he selected and collected a group of the world's best surfers, skaters, and snowboarders. They started this company. He's going to tell us the story later on. What else is happening? Oh, so this is amazing. In just a few days from now, jumping on a plane, headed to Shanghai, China, for the Vans Park Series World Championships, folks. The World Championships of Park Skateboarding, men's and women, September 22nd, it's going to be on Red Bull TV, VansParkSeries.com. You're going to see some of the best, sickest, raddest, craziest, most incredible park skateboarding you'll ever see. Pedro Barra, CJ Collins, Ronnie Sandoval, Sergente, Raven Tershey, you know, all of them. The women, Brighton Zoyner, Jordan Barrett, Nora, Lizzie, Armando, they're all gonna be there. It's gonna be the best thing you've ever seen in your life on the internet. And there's been a lot of cool stuff on the internet, and this is going to be better than all of that. So get psyched. And I'll be recording the Monday Mass from Shanghai, China next week. And I'll get to my picks in skate news. It was a great weekend for me personally, and I hope you had a great weekend too. I started my weekend at this music festival down here in San Diego called Kabu. Worst name for a festival, but it was fun. Yo, I saw Michael McDonald up close and personal. I was 6 feet away from this fool. He was ripping. Minute by minute by minute. Michael McDonald. There was other bands, you know, Muse, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Tom Petty, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking Michael McDonald. Shine sweet freedom, shine the light on me. The beard voice. Fear the beard, folks. So that was my highlight. And then on Saturday night, I went up and hosted, did some interviews for an event called Rock to Recovery 2. And this is basically, so Rock to Recovery is a group, they go into, drug and alcohol recovery facilities. They go into clinics for post-traumatic stress, trauma, and they teach them how to play music and they bring the best out of these people that are just trying to survive these horrible things like addiction, PTSD, you know, trauma, and it's an incredible program at Rock to Recovery. Follow them on Instagram. I went to this event. It was the greatest collection of sober rock stars I've ever seen. Corey Taylor from Slipknot, the dude was so cool. I was hanging out with him backstage. Nicest dude ever. Matt Sorum, drummer for every band you like. Guns N' Roses, you ever heard of him? Matt Sorum was there. Dudes from Stone Temple Pilots. Steve Stevenson from Billy Idol's band. The guy who wrote the guitar wizardry for Rebel Yell. It's hanging. It was an amazing event. It's gonna be a wrap-up video coming soon, and you're gonna love it. So that was my weekend at Kaboo, Rocked Recovery, and then Sunday, skated, slept, took a nap. It's fantastic. Check this out. Before we start surf, skate, and snow news, I want to tell you all, snowboarding is coming, folks. Yes, winter is right around the corner. October 14th, snowboard on the block. This is the first major big time snowboarding event, and it's a music festival. It's going to be going on in Denver, Colorado on October 14th, and this event is it's a one-day event. It's right in the heart of downtown Denver. We're talking about snowboard premieres, a three-story street-style pro jam with your favorite professional snowboarders on real snow. You've got amazing bands. What, the Vandals are playing? City Devils in downtown Denver with real snow and snowboarders flying off this three-story snowboard park custom built in downtown Denver in October. That's coming up. It's September 18th. This is just a couple weeks away. Get your tickets now. Snowboardontheblock.com. Don't miss it. I think you could probably, depending on where you're at, I know it doesn't cost a lot of money to fly to Denver. I mean, who's going to Denver other than to go to Snowboard on the Block in October? Go there. Get psyched. Start your winter off right. Snowboard on the Block. October 14th. I'll give you permission to hit pause, go get your tickets, and then come back and listen to the rest of the show. Okay? There's your Snowboard on the Block, October 14th. Go to snowboardontheblock.com. Let's get into some action sports news, why don't we? We're going to start off with surf news. It was a big week in surfing. Surf news is brought to you by South Coast Surf Shops. South Coast Surf Shops, with five shops in San Diego. They got closeout shops, meaning deals. You can basically go to one of the South Coast closeout shops, get a bunch of gear at a discounted prices, and you can tell people that you're sponsored because you got hooked up. You got a deal on clothing, wetsuits, surfboard, you're sponsored. I mean, you're sponsored by yourself, and you're smart because you're getting a deal. But South Coast, they have great shops, Wahini shops, and if you can get you online gear there as well. So go at South Coast. You can go to their Instagram and you can just look at all the cool stuff they have, and you can find a shop and go to the shop and say, I was listening to the world's greatest action sports podcast, The Monday Mass, and I just had to come in here. Chris told me how cool this place was, and he was right. Surf news. The Hurley Pro at Trestles and the Swatch Pro happened. And you know what? It was all right. It was all right. It was a good contest. You know, there was some heats had perfect, just perfect head-high lowers, glassy, just rippable. Other heats, it was pretty good. Other heats was bad. It was an inconsistent contest for waves from beginning to end. But when things started to light up, they lit up. They burned hot. They burned quickly. And if you're watching a highlight package of this contest, it's wow, a lot of cool stuff happened. Watching it live was just, it was a little bit inconsistent. I watched the whole thing. I love this. And there was drama. You know what I'm saying? Let's start with the women's side. Silvana Lima took the win over Keely Andrew. And I'm not gonna start saying I told you so. But listen, three shows ago when I'm talking about Silvana Lima rips lowers. Because I did. I said that. And I was right. It feels good to make a pick that it would, if you're looking at stats, you would not think that Silvana Lima was going to climb out of the hole she found herself in. She's just been at, she's had 25ths or 13ths and 9ths all year long. She's been having a terrible year on the World Championship Tour. The QS, she's been ripping. But I just, in my mind, I saw Silvana doing amazing things at lower trestles, and she did. Blasting airs, ripping. She took down Keely Andrew in the final. Keely Andrew is an amazing surfer. And I love how Keely surfs. She's one of my new favorite female surfers. But she got comboed in the final by Silvana Lima. And, you know, is this, it's one of those things where this could mean a huge comeback and big role for Silvana, or it could mean she accomplished her dream, her goal of winning a championship tour event, and that's it. I doubt that. I can see big things for Silvana Lima. Maybe she's figured out the CT, you know, equation. It's tough. She's so good. But she's had, you know, like I said, she's had trouble in the CT this year. She's been absolutely shredding on the QS. So maybe everything's coming together for Silvana Lima. As far as the ratings go, Sally Fitzgibbons is now in the Jeep leader jersey. She's in first place with three events to go. Could this be the perennial bridesmaids year? Sally Fitzgibbons, she can do it. It's not going to be easy. She is in first place right now. She's got three events to go. Courtney Conlogue is in second, charging. And Tyler right now drops to third. That's going to be a fun battle to watch on the women's side of things. Men's side, here we go. World title threats. There were seven surfers in contention to keep at pace, to stay on par, if you will, to continue to battle for a world title for 2017. But some of our threats went down early. Wilco, Owen Wright, both got 25ths. Harsh Tokes. Savage Cuts for two surfers who were in contention. And I would say, barring a miracle in Europe, I'm pretty sure both these surfers are out of the title race. That's that cut. There was, like I said, seven surfers in the conversation. I think Wilco and Owen are out of the conversation. There was a weird priority call that people were talking about for a minute. Kanoe Igarashi had to resurf a heat. He had won against Mick Fanning. They said that he blocked Mick in the beginning of the heat. A weird, you know, as a priority call, a new rule. And if this would have gone, so they resurfed, which is always, I mean, that's a big deal. Resurf a heat. Especially for Kanoe Igarashi, who just beat Mick Fanning, and he got to surf against this guy again. Statistics say you will not beat Mick Fanning twice, but he did. So no harm, no foul there. If Mick would have won that second heat, there would have been tears. People would have been angry. So the week rolled on, it was kind of, you know, you just kept checking back in, and they had to keep going. No major swell on the way, but still, like I said, it was head high. It was absolutely rippable. Super fun lowers. And everybody was pretty much all eyes on Jordy Smith. He was just kind of coasting through heats, big power turns. The judges were loving his turns. And a lot of people have been saying this was a power event, not an air event. And I got to agree with them. Surfline said that. And, you know, you would think that this would have been that air show that I wanted, that a lot of us wanted. You know, 540s, 360s and whatnot, but it was more about power surfing, and I think that's just what the waves were offering. So as it went on through the week, John, you know, good result. Julian Wilson, solid result, but it was all coming down to Jordy Smith and Felipe Toledo. You say Felipe, I say Felipe. You say Toledo, I say Toledo. Tomato, tomato. Let's just say he wins. We knew he was going to win. Actually, I didn't know he was going to win. You watch the final, and Toledo's getting these smaller waves, doing airs, crazy tricks. He did a disco floater, crossed his legs over and float. That was amazing. Thank you for that, Felipe. And then, you know, he was getting sixes, sevens, sevens, eights, and then Jordy just dropped a hammer, drops a nine on the strength of just pretty much one big power gouge. Beach Grit called foul. They said, no, that wasn't a nine, but he didn't win, so come on. What else? So, yeah, and then I got to give it to beachgrit.com. Fantastic website. They called out the Jordy Smith clip you heard at the very beginning of today's Monday Mass. I'm not here for a haircut. Well, I'm not here for a haircut, bro. I'm not good at South African accent. But, yeah, Jordy Smith, he means business. And I would say, so Felipe got the win. Double Brazilian waxing at lowers. Did I? No, I must have seen that somewhere. I didn't make that up. Brazilian waxing. Gotta love a good Brazilian waxing. So, yeah. Felipe won. Savannah won. And now I'm thinking, this is my educated guess here, my hypothesis on the 2017 World Championship Tour. It's going to be a two-horse race. John Florence against Jordy Smith to finish out the year going blow by blow, punch by punch, kick by kick. They're going to take it to the wire. I think Julian Wilson is the only other surfer that is going to make a run. Never count out Adriano. I mean, if Felipe wins an event in Europe, then hey, things could change. But I'm telling you right now, I think it's going to be Jordy and John going for the world title. The next men's event is the Quicksilver Pro France, October 7th. The women go to Cash Women's Pro, September 27th. That's coming right up. So that was the big, I would say that was the biggest surf news as far as, you know, competition and world title. It's going to be a fun, it's still a very fun race. There were seven going into lowers who were in contention. Now I'm saying there's three, maybe four. And I think it's going to be John or Jordy. A 25-year-old tourist got eaten by a crocodile. 25-year-old tourist was surfing in Sri Lanka, and he got eaten by a crocodile, and he was surfing a wave that the locals call Crocodile Rock. And we had a lot of shark talk throughout the summer here in America and in Australia and in Reunion Island, and it was very scary. Now we got to worry about crocodiles. I've always wanted to go surf in Sri Lanka. There's something about it. There's a mystery, a beauty to it. And now there's crocodiles pulling people into the water and eating them. So gnarly. I saw this on stabmag.com. And it's tragic. I mean, the guy, it was Paul McLean. He was a British journalist for the Financial Times. And he got separated from his buddies and grabbed by a crocodile while surfing. So heavy. Scary. Jesus. Oh, man. Condolences to the family, of course. I mean, killed by a crocodile while surfing. That is a horrible way to go. Let's get positive. There always has to be one story like that. Taylor Knox, this is a good story. Taylor Knox premiered his new surf flick, Y5, in Carlsbad the other night. I didn't go. Taylor, I'm sorry. I said I was going to go. I didn't go. Honestly, I had a hint. I had a hint of diarrhea. I'll be honest with everybody here. Just a hint. It wasn't full blown. It was just a touch. But this premiere was at a classic theater, you know, old theater. And if you have a hint, a touch, a smidgen of diarrhea, you don't want to be outside in an unfamiliar place. I don't know the bathroom setup there. Have you ever been to a dive bar and had the thought of, what if I got to take a dump? This bathroom's horrible. But I just couldn't go. I heard I missed out on an incredible film. I know it's going to be on Surfline.com coming up soon. And also Mick Fanning was there, and he put his hand up, he bid, and he won. And he won a surfboard, one of Taylor's Bonzer boards he rode in the surf film. And all the funds were going to a gal named Leanne, who was a shark attack victim. And she actually, when she got all the money, she donated to a different victim, Kavika. I think his name, did I read that right? What a lady. She said, he needs it more than I do. And I'm sure you can read about the whole story. Mick Fanning was a little, you know, buzzed, which is good. And he's buying Bonzers. That rules. We love Mick Fanning. We love Eugene. We haven't seen Eugene in a while. His alter ego. Party Mick. What else is going on here? Yes, I watched on whatyouth.com a Chloe and Dino. Is that a fairly normal interview? Afternoon interview? Chloe and Dino fishing. And it was actually pretty, you know, it was pretty cool the way they did it. It was quite revealing. He's just answering random questions. You know, I'm not a huge country music guy, but I could see the, you know, I guess if you're fishing, you're trying to find bass, the country music maybe brings them. I love Nancaro. Every time I think I don't like country music, I think of the band Nancaro, and I think, wait a second, I love country music. I love Nancaro. Total weird tangent there. Go watch that video. It's whatyouth.com. One of the best in the business. Positive Vibe Warriors, don't steal our vibe. Surfboard Drive, halfway there. Remember, I had Dane Gadowskis on the Monday Mass last week. Well, folks, they've been hustling, gathering up boards. If you have an old surfboard, whoops, dropping stuff. If you have an old surfboard in your garage, under your porch, wherever, grab it, give it to the Positive Vibe Warriors. They will take it to South Africa. They will help children stay off the streets through the love, the joy, the empowerment of surfing. Go to @PositiveVibeWarriors on Instagram or any of the Gadowskis brothers, and they will show you the way. They will tell you where to drop your boards off. Jack Surfboards, Surf Ride in Solana Beach. There's a bunch of shops that you can drop your boards off. The Positive Vibe Warriors, don't steal our vibe. Surfboard Drive is halfway there. Dude, Wave Pool Madness is happening right now. So reports have come in. I believe Chaz Smith was snooping around. Beach Grit reported that there was a dress rehearsal for a wave pool event at Kelly Slater's Wave Pool in Lemoore, California. And just as that news dropped, the ISA brought a bunch of teams to the Cove. Wave Gardens, the Cove Wave in the Basque Country of Spain. Team China, Team Japan, Team USA, a bunch of teams got in there. Team Germany. And they ripped this wave pool, and the thing looks so fun. You know, it's a small wedging right. And these kids are ripping it. It looks so fun. Team France was there. That was on something.com. That was on a website. It was on Stab. It was everywhere. It was on surfermag.com. I remember now. I've surfed the wave pool in Dubai or outside Dubai, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. I've surfed there. That wave pool is super fun. I did a frontside 360 air on my first wave, and then it freaked me out because the next four waves I got, I tried the same air, and I had too much time to think about it, and I blew every other wave. That's the one thing about wave pools. They can be so predictable that it messes with your brain. There's no reaction time like you have when you're out surfing in, you know, Oceanside, T Street, you know, Rockaway Beach. You don't have time to think, on my next wave, I'm going to drop it, I'm going to do a turn here, and I'm going to do an air. You just drop it and you do it. When you're in a wave pool, sometimes it can freak you out because the wave's the same every time, in theory. Please, Kelly Slater, let me come surf the wave pool. geez, I think that there might be an event going on as we speak. You don't know. I kind of like the World Surf League is a little bit mysterious, aren't they? We'll see what happens. They'll probably just start right after I finish recording this. So, we'll see what happens. Hey, Waves to Water, they're doing it. They're really doing it right now. I've been following Jimmy Wilson, Dylan Graves, and a group of friends that have joined up Team Forces with John Rose and wavesforwater.org. They're right now, they are in the Caribbean. They are delivering water filters. This is one of the easiest, best ways to help people in dire need of water. Delivering water filters. They're little things. I'm in a bucket and a filter, and you give it to them. It's kind of like you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for an hour. You can teach him how to fish and he'll eat for the rest of his life. That's what Waves for Water does. Right now they are in St. John's and St. Thomas Islands. And they're going to a bunch of different islands. Follow wavesforwater.org or go to wavesforwater.org to see how you can get involved. Give them $20, they can get like 3 filters. I mean, this is an incredible way to help people. And I say give to as many different charities as you can, of course. But when you give to wavesforwater.org, I mean, they buy a water filter, they deliver the water filter, they train people how to use the water filter. It's very simple yet effective. Follow at Jimmy Kane, follow at Dylan Graves, just a couple of the guys that are down there helping with Waves for Water. That's your surf news. The next big events are coming down the line for surfing, and this, like I said earlier, the World Title Race is gonna be really fun. Let's not go back there. Let's go forward. Let's go to the snow. Snow news is up next. Snow news. There's no business like snow business. There's no business I snow. Snow news is brought to you by Snowboard on the Block. I ranted and I raved about it at the top of the show. Let me tell you about it one more time. October 14th, Snowboard on the Block, downtown Denver. You got a 3-story street style pro jam with your favorite pro riders. Think about a three-story building, and off the side of that building, they've built an incredible snowboard park. Rails, jumps, all kinds of fun stuff right in downtown Denver. Get your passes today. It's coming up. It's October 14th. It's a one-day event. Fly to Denver for the weekend. Have the best weekend of your life. Get yourself so psyched on snowboarding that you're just going to set your stoke meter for the rest of the winter. There's gonna be booths, bands, the Vandals, Murder City Devils. It's gonna be lit. It's gonna be fleeked on snow. You know what? Since this is Villager Month, and this is technically a Villager owner / team rider, let's give him the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, you want some snow news? Take it from a pro, Todd Richards. Todd Richards, give us some snow news, buddy.
Here is the world's greatest snow news for the world's greatest podcast about action sports. Okay, so here we go. It is now September, and the battle has begun to open up the first ski area in North America. Usually that battle consists of Loveland on the West Coast, or, you know, the Rockies, battling Killington in Vermont. Who's going to have the colder weather earlier? And with Colorado just had their first, I wouldn't say measurable snow, but definitely enough snow that people were kind of all abuzz about it over the social media networks. I think advantage right now to the West Coast. What else is happening? New Zealand, snow news. This kind of happened last week or so. Shaun White had to pull out of the New Zealand Open, the World Cup event down there, because he hurt himself and had to go to the hospital and get some x-rays. So what does that mean? I don't know, but if you're an Olympic groupie and your money's on Shaun White, you had to pull out of the first kind of real event getting towards the Olympics. Hot dogs and handrails, that's coming up at Dick Bear on the 23rd, and it's kind of like the official start of the snowboard season. It's the first real, like, contest with any money. And that's in Big Bear, California. It goes down to Big Bear Resort, and there's a bunch of rails, and I'm constantly blown away by what those guys set up in such a short amount of time.
yeah, it keeps it interesting. It's a great time up there. So that's the 23rd of September up at Big Bear. And yeah, winter is coming. And everyone should go see It, because It is the raddest movie out this fall. So all that stuff, and then go see It. Okay? All right, see you later.
Leave it to Todd Richards to throw in a creepy clown movie at the end of his Snow News. Thank you, Todd Richards. Todd Richards is a Villager team writer and Villager co-owner. So this is Villager Month. And more on that later. Over at snowboard.transworld.net, I watched a very fun video of Jordan Small. He is one of the stars of the brand new Transworld snowboarding film, Arcadia. And he did the California trifecta. Surf in the morning, skate for brunch, snowboard for dinner. All three sports in one day. The California trifecta. Now that's a rite of passage for many California actions. It sounds weird. When you say action sports about somebody and you call them an action sports guy, that sounds weird. And no matter how hard I try, it's really hard to say action sports. See? It's really hard to say action sports without sounding like a kook. But I do it every Monday. Arcadia, brand new Transworld snowboarding film, premieres September 21st at La Paloma Theater in Encinitas. It's going to blow your snowboarding socks off. Trust me on this. So there you have a couple things to do to get your mind in the right place for snowboard season, which is coming up here for Northern Hemisphere peeps. Snowboard season is coming. Winter is coming. Todd said it. Snow is beginning to fall, people. Get ready. Go watch Arcadia, and when it comes out, buy it, and you'll be psyched. Snowboarder.com, also Snowboarder Magazine, snowboarder.com, also has a video coming out. Who is Pepper? Everyone's asking that question. Who's Pepper? Well, go over to Snowboarder, and you'll find out. You'll find out quick. So Snowboarder.com will give you the scoop on their new film coming as well. So there's your snow news. October 14th, Snowboard on the Block. It's going to get you fired up to rip. Snow news. What did I say? Snow news was brought to you by, yep, Snowboard on the Block. It was a hot weekend. A hot weekend in skateboarding. Skate News is brought to you by Masterplan Communications at Masterplan PR on Instagram. They are helping spread the word about this podcast, the world's greatest action sports podcast. They actually call it the world's greatest action sports podcast, and they know what they're talking about. I told them to call it that. So they're spreading the word. They can do the same for you, for your business, for your company. They can let everyone know how rad you are, and they're good at it. Masterplan Communications brings you Skate News here on the Monday Mass. SLS, Nike, SB, Super Crown, World Championships of Street Skateboarding went down in Los Angeles, and it was awesome. Stayed up late, watched it on ETN.com, on the ETN app. I'm a member. And it was insane. You know, I've watched many, many Street League events in the past, and they're hit or miss. You know, sometimes the action just feels slow. The tricks are crazy. But this one, from beginning to end, was insane. I'm going to let my man, Street League official, sideline reporter, bringing us the exclusive post-event wrap-up. Andrew Cannon came straight from Los Angeles, straight from the floor of Street. He was on the deck at Street League, standing right next to Shane O'Neill, Nyjah Houston, Louis Lopez. He was standing right next to them. They were sweating on him, and he was loving it. And he's going to bring us a report. Andrew Cannon, give us your Street League report from the deck now.
Andrew Cannon checking in here. It was a crazy year at Street League. No doubt about it. We got a bunch of new guys coming up. You got Deshaun Jordan. You got Yuto Horigomi. We had some new guys in Street League this year fucking shit up. And, but of course, Najee Houston, Shane O'Neill kept it on top at the Super Crown. Najee took first place, absolutely slayed it. It was so rad to see him earn this one. The whole entire finals was so gnarly. And then Najee came out swinging with the backside 360 kickflip lip slide. First try, mind you, down a rail, which is so fucked up. And he did it, and that basically sealed the fate. Shane went for switch 360 double flip, switch 360 flip, fuck, how do you even say it? Switch 360 double flip big spin? No, I guess it would be switch big spin double flip. Whatever, it's so crazy. But so Shane went for that on his last attempt, didn't make it, and it sealed the fate for Najee, which was insane. On the women's side, it was equally as exciting. Leticia Bufoni landed a back Smith for her second to last attempt, got her a good score. She was up on top. And then her last try, she went for a fakie ollie down the stairs. She made it, but fakie ollie is kind of a medium move, especially at that point in time. I think she felt pretty confident that nobody was going to take it away from her, but Lacey Baker was super close. Lacey went in, nose manual, nollie heel on the three up, three down, long mani pad, and she did it perfectly. Got the score, beat out Leticia. And it was insane. So overall, I mean, this year of Street League was super rad. It's really cool to see all the new blood in there ripping shit up. Deshaun Jordan won at the last one. Had a tough time out there this time, but we'll see him next season. And then Yuto Horigami is probably going to come in and just pile drive the shit out of everyone next year. Because that dude is unbelievable. That's it. Street League is a wrap. It was an incredible year. All right. Hope you like it.
I do like it, and I liked it. Thank you, Andrew Cannon. And I was in the same boat watching this thing because some of the tricks these guys are doing are really reserved for banger enders in video parts than they are for contests. Yet somehow these guys can still do the craziest shit you've ever seen on a skateboard. Under pressure, in front of a huge audience, live, and it's nuts. What did I? Okay, yeah, the girl, like Andrew said, and the women were charging, and it looked like Leticia Bufoni was going to take the win, but Lacey Baker, just dropping hammers, or should I say hammer, dropping a hammer at the end of her run. So it was one of those things. Leticia pretty much had it wrapped up. She did a safety trick, a fakie ollie. I mean, it's huge. I wouldn't do it. It's huge. Fakie ollie. The commentators, judges are kind of like, eh. And then Lacey Baker had one last chance, and she nailed it. She won. And it was awesome. The last trick, you know, it was kind of like a walk-off home run if you're looking at some jock-type stuff. But she ripped six style. Lacey Baker... your champion, street skateboarding champion, back to back. On the men's side of things, it was on. Luis Lopez looked amazing. Tori Pudwell, you know, they were trading off the lead. And as it start, you know, as it comes down to the wire, you start to see what's up. As usual, Shane O'Neill starts throwing switchblades, a double 360 flip. What? And so he gets a 9-4. He goes to first. Then Najee goes freak show mode. He has four nines on the night. They were going back and forth, and then it was up to Najee. He had one last trick to do, and what he did, kickflip 360 to lip slide down the big rail. And again, I watched this trick 15 times, and it was mind-bending. So Najee gets a 9-5, which is the biggest score of the night. I think the biggest score of the entire Street League season. And then Shane O'Neill had one more chance, and it was, I mean... Go to a 10 stair and go super fast and then just kick your board as hard as you can till it flips 15 times and then try to land it. That's what Shane O'Neill tried to do. But the difference between him and all of us is he is doing something on purpose. He's trying to double a 540 kick. You heard, Andrew Cannon has been commentating street skating events for decades, and he was as baffled as I am. Crazy. Replay will be coming out. It's coming on ESPN 2, I believe. You can watch the whole deal. You can watch stuff on ETN. Thrash and Burn hits the web today. It might have just hit. Bam. Is your computer on fire? That's because Thrash and Burn is online. Spitfire team and Thrasher magazine, Don Vanderlinden, Chris Fanner, Gerwer, Grant Taylor, Evan Smith, Raven, Ashad, whole Spitfire team ripping around the planet and shredding. And it's gonna knock your teeth in. Spitfire Wheels team lighting up the internet on ThrasherMagazine.com. And 10 minutes after I finished recording last week's Monday Mass, one of my favorite new skateboarders, or he's not new, he's been skating forever, new to me, new to my favorite pro list, Tristan Funkhauser, T-Funk goes pro. Pro as funk for Baker. And also on the joining the pro ranks from Belgium, Yarni Verbruggen. He's pro for Element. And his part just hit the internet as well. And it's sick. It's great. T-Funk, Yarni, pro. And what? Yeah, that was skate news. I mean, that was a lot to talk about. Like I said, coming up next week, I'm going to China for the Vans Park Series World Championships. Tune in to watch myself, Chris Pastris, and Neil Hendricks. It airs September 22nd, 8 p.m. on Red Bull TV and VansParkSeries.com. I'm thinking it's going to be Tom Schar versus Pedro Barros. The end of this thing. This is what my guts are telling me. Sorgente is going to make a run for sure. On the women's side of things, Brighton Zoiner, Jordan Barrett, Nora, what? It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be lots of amazing skateboarding. If you like park skating, which I know you do, you're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be the event of the year, Vans Park Series. Go to @VansParkSeries on Instagram for a behind-the-scenes look at the action. And that also reminds me, on Viceland, epically latered, Heath Kurtchart, that episode was amazing. And more to come. So far, we've seen Bam Margera, Heath Kurtchart, and the epically latered series. Both of them have been amazing. Can't wait for the rest of them. Epically latered. That's just my reminder to you to remind yourself to make sure to watch those shows. That has been skate news, folks. Skate news. Oh, listen, we got an exclusive interview coming up next. So, yes, part of Villager Month. We got to end Villager Month here.
And with the
man behind the Villager concept, Josh Landon. So, quick history lesson. Josh and I worked together in the past when I was at Transworld Surf, and Josh was making surf films like Arc, the Taylor Knox story.
17 years ago now.
Yeah, we've been homies through St. Archer, what you did there, and now I'm super excited with what you're doing at Villager.
Yeah.
And not just because it's Villager Month here on the Monday Mass, but because Villager's good. I like it.
That's good.
I enjoy it. And,
of course,
you have the sickest team in the world. So just give us the brief overview. I'm an old lady sitting next to you on an airplane. What is Villager?
I like old ladies.
Yeah. What do you do?
So Villager, you know, it's just something that we all drink, whether, you know, we all drink coconut water, and we wanted to do something that wasn't being done in our culture. You know, it was energy drinks and soda, and a lot of my friends and I, we don't drink that. Whether they represent it or not, you know, they're not really consuming it on a regular basis. So after St. Archer, we just had the opportunity to do something else, and everybody just got together, and it was even surprising for me that people were willing to walk away from 6- and 7-figure endorsement deals to invest in Villager and build a non-alcoholic beverage and food business.
Yeah, which, I mean, yeah. in theory, we're going to start this coconut water, and then you think about it, and, I mean, that space is massive. I mean, it's the liquid space from water to everything else. For sure. I mean, it's huge to try. And so what was your first kind of pitch? Let's say, you know, P-Rod or Guy Mariano, one of these guys, when you start talking to them about this, what do you say to get them excited to start Villager with you?
Well, I think, you know, it would probably be a little bit more daunting if I hadn't just done St. Archer.
Right. So you had the practice there.
Well, I mean, talk about saturated. There's 7,000 trillion breweries now, right? And when we started St. Archer, there were 3,500 breweries in the United States, and we did it in the craft beer mecca of the U.S. in San Diego. So it wasn't as daunting to go up against, you know, 8 national coconut water brands. Right? Like, it just didn't seem as big a deal. You know, maybe if we hadn't done anything, it would be like, man, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But for us, we felt like we knew how to build a brand and tell a story. And the hardest part has been sourcing the liquid, sourcing organic, not from concentrate coconut water from the Philippines is hard.
Yeah. Coconuts are big and heavy, and to get them from the Philippines here.
And no, they do everything there. So, like, we went and, you know, we met with the manufacturer and what did, like, saw the whole process. And, like, with our coconut water, the only ingredient is coconut water. There's nothing else in it. There's no added sugar. There's none of that shit. So it's like, to have that just be it's hard. You're dealing with putting, you know, our Tetra Pak comes from Germany, and then it goes over to the Philippines, and then they fill everything, and then it comes to Long Beach, and it's a process. Whereas with St. Archer, while it was very expensive, I could see it being made right in front of me and packaged right in front of me and then go out, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With this, you're like, so where in the Pacific is it?
A longer story. It's a bigger process.
Yeah. Are you guys done yet?
Yeah.
And you're dealing with a third world country, and you're like, are we even understanding each other? So that was a big learning curve for us. And, you know, we got into Ralph's right away, which is unheard of, right? You know, our product was delayed like 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, because it got stuck in customs.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you going to do? There's not much you can do when it's stuck in customs. It just, you're just screwed.
Yeah.
It's been a learning curve. But it's fun to be doing something from scratch again.
No doubt. So the team, obviously, you look at the names you have on the list, you know, P-Rod, Guy Mariano, and you got, you know, surfers, Taylor Knox, you've got Jack Freestone, Alana Blanchard, in Snow. I mean, Todd Richards, you run the gamut, young, old, male, female, the best of the best.
Yeah.
For you, when you see these guys at signings and you see kids coming up to them, and, you know, you got Kenny Anderson there, and he's holding this thing. They're kind of making coconut water cool, which that's a tough thing, but they've, you guys have done it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is we're promoting a healthy lifestyle, and it really is that healthy option. I think having guys, you know, it's one thing when athletes leave sponsors, but it's another thing to have, you know, guys and girls on board that you just would never get. You know, Andrew Reynolds would never say yes to an energy drink, no matter how much they offer him. Eric Austin, same thing. Dude, Taj. How has Taj never had a drink sponsor? And it's because he just wouldn't do it. So for him to do Villager says a lot. I think that's just as important. But we were at an event in Vegas. We got like 200 Shell stations, some in California, some Rebel gas stations in Vegas. And I had the guys at a gas station in Vegas signing autographs, which they wouldn't, you know, most likely wouldn't do otherwise, right? So we're all in Vegas, and there's probably like 500 kids wrapped around and adults wrapped around this gas station. And I'm walking, I just bought something inside, and I'm walking out, and this dad comes up to me and goes, hey, are you Josh Landon? You started Villager. I said, yeah. And he said, you changed my son's life. He was doing some bad stuff and going down the wrong road, and he loves P-Rod and Andrew Reynolds, and he started looking into Villager, and it turned his whole life around. He's clean, living healthy, just because of you guys. Gave me a hug and got in his car and left.
Best ever.
It was like, it was an amazing moment. That's why you do it, right? Like, that was just an unreal thing. And I think the guys seeing that and watching, like, we went to all the skate parks in Southern California, and like, the guys were giving, P-Rod and Mikey Taylor and Ave are like walking up to the skate park with a cooler with Cold Villager, handing it to kids. And I could see them going like, dude, this is good. Like, you're giving them this organic, healthy product, and it's from their heroes. That was what was in my head when I had the idea. So to see it like finally happen was unreal.
It's the ultimate seal of approval.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And they're not spitting it out in front of me, which is good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you don't don't want them to like take a swig of it and spit it in your face. And then you're like, well, it's not as great. But they're to see like little kid, like 5-year-old kids to like 28-year-old dudes pounding them and stoked and thanking them was insane.
Hell yeah. And so with Villager, what's next? We've seen some video projects come through already that have been epic, you know, short videos, the Kenny Anderson video, the Andrew Reynolds video in particular.
Yeah.
What do we got next coming up for Villager? You know, we got the three flavors now.
Yeah.
You got pineapple, chocolate, original.
Yep.
So new flavors, new video parts. What do we got coming up for Villager?
We're coming out with Little Villager. A lot of us are dads. And we wanted to make an organic, no sugar added juice for them. And so we're coming out with kids' juice boxes, a sport bottle for like, you can buy at a Chevron, and then like a jug that you put in your refrigerator. So Little Villager comes out in the next 3 months. And then we have a film coming on Jack Freestone and Taj. And then we have sparkling water coming next year and granola.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got a lot coming down there.
We're busy down
the pipeline.
We're busy. Yeah. And it's fun because we're really just making the stuff that we consume. You know, we all drink. Who doesn't drink sparkling water now? Right? And granola and our kids drink juice. Well, kids don't drink juice. Never, right?
Love it. I love it.
So, yeah, well, there's a lot going on.
So where can we follow the story? Where can we get the updates? To, you know, every day we want to know what's going on with Villager. Where can we find that out?
Our Instagram at Villager Goods, and then the website villagergoods.com.
Too easy. Hell yeah. Well, I know you got a in-depth podcast coming up with one of my homies here on the U Media Network. Chris Cantore is going to have you on Cantore and you. You guys are going to go deep.
It's going
to be awesome. Yes.
I'm ready.
Josh Landon, the man, the myth. The coconut water connoisseur. And thank you again for Villager Month. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll just keep having your team. I could, if I had every one of your team writers on this podcast, I mean, that would in fact solidify this as the world's greatest action sports podcast.
Let's make it happen.
Which I call it already.
Let's make it happen.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Josh. So that was founder of Villager Coconut Water. And as you can hear right there, Josh Landon has big things planned for Villager, and we're gonna keep Villager rolling. Next episode, we're gonna have one final Villager team writer. Who's it gonna be? Guy Mariano, Paul Rodriguez, Kenny Anderson. You're gonna have to stay tuned to find out our final guest on Villager Month. Thank you to Villager for hooking it up. And that has been the Monday Mass for September 18th, 2017. Is this the world's greatest action sports podcast? You tell me. Either way, rate and review this show. Go to uonline.com, listen to past episodes, listen to the soundtrack. Yeah, I don't know if I've even mentioned that. You know, underneath, here, listen. The songs that are playing underneath the talking, they're good songs, all curated, hand-selected for this show, for you. So, those can be found on You Online, also on my Spotify channel, which if you follow me on any social media outlet, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, it's on there. The links are there. The files are in the computer? Yes. Hey, follow me. Come with me to China. And we will show you the world's best park skateboarding vans. Park Series is coming up September 22nd on Red Bull TV. Come with us. Come with us on this journey of park skateboarding. You're going to love it. And like I said, next episode, coming at you from Shanghai, China. So I hope you enjoyed this week's Monday Mass as much as I enjoyed saying. Recording it? Yes, you get it. Bye.